Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Show me a work environment where all the coworkers get together and sing Kumbaya every single day after work, and I'll show you a weird place.
Well, we don't sing Kumbaya all day long.
That's all I got to say to you, Jim Bob Cooter.
I would just add to that, Jim Bob Cooter.
But we're still a pretty weird place.
I saw pictures of you with something stupid on your head.
That's called my face, Neil.
Can a podcast be a weird place? Who knows? Let's answer that question starting now.
Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the surprise edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, here with yet another regular podcast. We decided to delay the division previews by another show, so they will start this coming Sunday. But we did plan on introducing you to the AFC North division preview today, but some things came up, and we wanted to talk about them. And Justin, our Seahawks superfan, was kind enough to bring us a special guest this week. Hello, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Jay calling in from vacation, so I apologize if my Wi-Fi sucks. Really, really excited about today's guest. We kind of teased him on the weekend show. As an aside, it's kind of awkward to not do the opening to the show. I guess you get used to it, but it's kind of nice that I don't have to edit this one.
Yes. Well, Rob is just excited that he has other super fans to talk to this week. Hello, Rob, our Bills super fan.
Yeah, it was feels like I'm at a party now. Last week, it was just you and me here. We got like the whole gang back together.
We did, and one of the guys who ditched us last week is making amends this week. It's our Eagles superfan, James. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. How you all doing? Look, apologies again. The Memorial Day holiday threw me off. I thought Thursday was Wednesday, so yeah, my whole day was out of whack. My whole week was out of whack. I wasn't right till Saturday.
And it wasn't just the fact that we had a special guest that we'll be talking to here in just a few moments, but it was also the fact that apparently there are no clouds over Scotland today, and Neil has managed to avoid the rain and wanted to talk on the podcast. So our Redskins superfan Neil is here, rain-free.
Hey, guys. Good to be back on the show. And James, that forgetting which day of the week it is, that's a sure sign that you're getting old.
Well, I'm not old. I'm just 40.
I'm a man. I'm 43 tomorrow. Not quite yet. That's me. I'm getting closer and closer to Neil. The fortunate part is Neil keeps getting further and further away at the same time.
Yeah. Thanks, Jane. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And so for the rest of you folks out there, hey, we love hearing from you. And when we do start the division previews, we know you're going to have some opinions that are going to differ than ours. You can send us those thoughts to nextfanup@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And our Facebook page is a great place to interact with us, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Of course, you can go to our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com, where Greg, our Steelers superfan, recently paid up his bet and did a full review of Manchester by the Sea. And don't worry, he said he kept it spoiler free, and I've read most of it, and the torture, I think, fit the crime. That's what you get for betting against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Any of you guys read the article yet?
No, not yet.
No, I have not.
You're all fired.
Sorry.
For admitting that you have not read our own website. But anyway, I highly recommend it. Nextfanup.wordpress.com is where you can find that. And Justin, I think you brought us a special guest, and we're going to be talking some Seahawks here.
Absolutely. This is a guest from local radio. I'm really excited about G. Scott. Man, he's got so many great things to say.
It's our pleasure now to bring in our very special guest, a Seattle Seahawks insider. He is the co-host with John Clayton at 710 ESPN Seattle. His name is G. Scott. G, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate you. I'm good.
Well, we appreciate having you on because we definitely want to get to the bottom of what's happening there in Seahawks land. But I know Justin, our Seahawks super fan, has a few questions before we get into all of that. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, man. First off, G, really appreciate you being here. Really looking forward to talking to you. Have been hoping to get you for a while. Before we get into sort of that ESPN, the magazine article, though, I wonder if you could just sort of tell us, you know, how you arrive where you are, because I think it's a fascinating story. You know, you're not somebody who necessarily came up in the radio world doing that sort of thing. I look at you, I listen to you, and I just think you're one of us, man.
Yeah, man. I had this crazy idea back in 2003. And as a matter of fact, I'll reveal something with you guys. It's something that nobody has ever known. Well, I had the idea to drive up to the Seahawks facility that was over in Kirkland, and I was going to ask them to see if I can clean their cars. And well, I got up there around 6 o'clock in the morning, and I waited by the fence and just kind of sat there as cars were coming in and guys were coming in for practice. And there was a car that pulled up, and I got his attention, and I asked if I could clean his vehicle for free just to show him what it is that I could do. And he said, yes, cleaned his vehicle. And when I was done, he said, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to get you another car. That gentleman's name was Eric Kennedy, who is then and who is still today the Seahawks equipment manager. Well, he went to go get Coach Mike Holmgren's vehicle and brought it down. And so I cleaned it. So, you know, and then after that day was done, they asked me if I can come back the next day. Here's something that I've never told anybody. I had just learned how to clean cars a week prior to heading up to the Seahawks facility. I learned through magazines. So there you go. I just dropped that gem right here on your show. Nobody's ever known that. I had just learned how to detail cars.
Oh, man. Next Fan Up exclusive. That's amazing, G. So all of a sudden, day one, you're watching the car of the big man, of the big show there. Yeah. How does washing cars turn into you being this radio personality?
Well, you know, and as it went, you know, I did that for 11 years, cleaning their vehicles around the coaching changes when Mike Holmgren left to Coach Jim Mora. And then, of course, after Jim Mora, Pete Carroll, being around all of the success that they have had from the beginning until now, until obviously until after they won the Super Bowl. And we did a thing, I'm sure, quite sure you guys heard of it. There was a deal called The Barbershop, where it was a few of us that got together and did a podcast that was just a bunch of fun, just a bunch of laughing around. And it was okay that we knew nothing of what we were doing. We had no clue. Actually, I've been there before with the car cleaning. But anyway, here we are again in a situation with the radio where we have no clue what we're doing. However, we're just a bunch of guys having fun until the one day that 710 ESPN Seattle gave us the opportunity to go on live on their show. And in the process, I was still cleaning cars. Well, when I was at the Seahawks facility, I said, hey, Marshawn, man, I need a favor. I need for you to come on with us. It would really help us look good and maybe validate us a little bit. And so Marshawn Lynch agreed to come on and do an interview with us. And then things kind of took off. The rest was history. And then here I am today. I mean, it's kind of a, it's not kind of a, it's an awesome story. It's a blessing. I mean, you know, now I am co-host with John Clayton every day, 10 to 12 here on 710 ESPN Seattle. I am also now the Seahawks MC during Touchdown City during their pregame celebrations. I am also the MC for their 12 tours when they go out on the road to visit with fans. So to say this is a dream come true, it's an understatement.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined, G. It could have been, I'm just here to get my car washed, G. What's, you want me to be a guest on the show? That's awesome. Talk to me a little bit about the atmosphere that you sort of created there. You know, you started off with a couple of the cars, and then you did such a great job. Everybody sort of went to get the next guy. You know, what was it that you were ultimately what you were looking to do? Just create sort of like a fun atmosphere and hang out with the guys, or did you have something else in mind?
Are you referring to the beginning of the podcast and the radio show?
Sort of even before the podcast and the radio show.
You're talking about the car
washing cars. Because I can only imagine, if somebody tried to do that today, the security would just come and be like, get off the premises, please.
Absolutely right. You're 100%. I remember going to Kirkland during those times. And if you remember, they were at Northwest College. I mean, there was only enough parking for about maybe 30, not even barely 30 cars up there in that little parking lot. And it was all based on a handshake. And I would just hang out there by the fence, and I just wait for cars. I would come there 3-4 days a week. And I mean, let's be honest, the Seahawks weren't really in 2003, they weren't exactly like the greatest show here in town. I mean, they were getting there, but it wasn't like it is now. I mean, all those guys, they were pretty cool. There was no expectation. The only expectation I had was I was just a guy that was just trying to make a little bit of money. I didn't charge that much. And it was just pretty cool. I remember during that time, there were people that used to make fun of me for cleaning the Seahawks cars. I remember some of the jokes they would say, ha ha, maybe you should suit up. Maybe you can help the Seahawks out. So I remember those jokes, and I'm still friends with some of those people today. So it was just mainly about that. And then over the years, things got a little interesting and fun. I mean, not only did I do car cleaning, but I was also able to drive some of these guys around when they wanted to go out, or maybe pick up family members from the airport. And, you know, you just kind of got that relationship over the years. Some of my most fun experience, I don't know if you guys remember when Edgerrin James was here during that short little stint with the Seahawks, and still friends with Edgerrin today. Well, what a fun opportunity it was to drive around and drive him around. Oh, man. Edgerrin James was so funny. He would always talk about himself in third person. Edge, I need to go to this restaurant, baby. Come get the driving, man. The Edge tied, boss. Let's go. So, you know, those type of stories. And then, you know, of course, Pete Carroll comes, and there we go, man. I mean, things start to change. There's an expectations, the winning moments, the Super Bowl 48, back to the Super Bowl in 49. And here we are. We got Seth Wickersham articles out there. You have an expectation from the city for them to be winning and for them to be perfect all at the same time. And that's where we are today.
Well, that's a great transition that you mentioned the article about the Seahawks. What is the state of that team right now? Is there a Super Bowl hangover the way that it's been portrayed currently?
No. I mean, the Super Bowl hangover, first and foremost, it's real, right? I mean, it's not just real for the Seahawks. It's real for ask the Carolina Panthers, what kind of season did they have coming off their Super Bowl. It was real for the Seahawks after they won Super Bowl 48. They kind of went through a lull, if you remember that. And then the second half of the season, I think they won like 9 of 10 in that, to go on a roll to get where they were. And they made it back to the Super Bowl in 49. And then they come back in 50. And sure, in any thing in life where you have great success, you have an opportunity or a time where you can maybe fall because the expectation is so high. Well, it's interesting because after Super Bowl 49, the next year they win 10 plus games. And then the next year they win 10 plus games. And if you go back to after Super Bowl 49, you remember they had some little bit of a problem. Remember, you had the Cam Chancellor holdout where they start the season 0-2. So you have all of these different things that happen, but the Seahawks team still prevails. Now, I get it. The Seth Wickersham article comes out, and everybody thinks, oh, my goodness, this Seahawks team is just there's so many problems going on. Well, the thing about the Seth Wickersham article, and by the way, I want to say it was nicely done. I'm not going to even poke holes in it and say that the stories were false. However, what I will say, and I want folks to understand this, that is a period of 4 years. Some of the stories being told in that happen before Super Bowl 49. As a matter of fact, if you want to know what's going on current day, most of the members on the team today weren't even here during that time. So they're looking at everybody like, oh, really? That happened? So that doesn't, it's not the constant, it's not the state of this team right now. And to the answer, what is the state of this team right now? There's a lot of excitement right now. Yes, you just come off the heels of if Richard Sherman is going to get traded, is he not going to get traded? But he's here, you know what I mean? And so I'm not saying that things are made up. I'm saying that in every family, right, every family, you yourself or you listening right now, you might have a cousin that maybe you didn't get along with for a week. Doesn't mean it's still not your cousin. Same thing with the Seahawks. Does every coworker get along with each other? No. Show me a work environment where all the coworkers get together and sing Kumbaya every single day after work, and I'll show you a weird place. The Seahawks or any other franchise in the NFL is no different than any other workplace out there. You have problems, and then you succeed. The difference is that they have a CEO in Paul Allen, the owner of the team, and they also have a head coach, and they also have the president, and they also have a GM that are all on the same page, which is the reason why they have won 10-plus games 5 years in a row. So the state of this team is excitement. The state of this team is they're looking forward to coming into this year, and they also are excited about the rookie class that they just brought in.
Does Russell Wilson have the trust and respect of the locker room?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's interesting because when people ask me that, and by the way, I love the question about does he have the respect and the confidence. Well, I'm going to let you know right now, most of the good quarterbacks, I think you guys can agree with where I'm going to go with it. Most of the elite and good quarterbacks in this league are under contract. So if, let's just say the Seahawks or the players didn't like Russell, then who in the world would be their quarterback? We can all agree that the quarterback is the most important position on the team. They need Russell just like Russell needs them. When there's reports coming out about people saying that, oh, that some of the teammates don't like Russell. Well, again, you're going back to a regular work environment. Not everybody's going to like everybody. As a matter of fact, let me take it a step further. Here at my job, there are some people I don't like. Doesn't mean they aren't good at what they do. So you can't just place judgment and think that just because an NFL team is not, remember, they're human too, they're going to have the same problem that any other company out here in the world happens. So the answer to your question, they love and respect Russell. Remember, the same Russell that had the knee problem last year, the high ankle sprain, and they watched their teammate, number three, go out there and battle through, not miss a game and not miss a practice. How can you not respect that?
You know, what I just heard there, Justin, was G said he doesn't like it when John is really blaring that Slayer music in the background. G Scott, hey, where can people find you, G?
Man, you guys can find me on Twitter at the G Scott, and then of course you can hear me every day on with the Professor John Clayton from 10 to 12 on 17 ESPN Seattle, and the more the merrier. I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come on your show, man. I very appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure was all ours, G. All right, G. Scott, 710 Seattle. And you can listen to him along with my former colleague, John Clayton. We're now former colleagues, I guess. John Clayton, also one of the unfortunate few to have gotten the axe recently from the former mothership, which is a shame. But it's a great thing to hear from somebody that's tuned into the team like G. Scott is, Justin. And so one of the topics that Neil brought up with us that he wanted to talk about was to go team by team and sort of say better, same, or worse. And since you're here and we just talked about the Seahawks, how would you rank the Seahawks offseason, Justin? Better, same, or worse?
Definitely better. I think that you have an offensive line that simply can't be worse than it was last year. They brought in some shaky pieces, but they brought in some pieces to hopefully solidify that. The addition of Eddie Lacy, even if...
I think he was about to say, even if Eddie Lacy is being added to the offensive line, I think that's what he was
going to say. Nah, I don't think that's where he was going.
I think your Wi-Fi is a
bit like your offensive line. I will have you know his weight back on target.
Your Wi-Fi is a bit like your offensive line sort of cracking up and falling apart.
Oh, boo. No, the biggest thing is health. There were so many issues with health across the board. And then with this most recent draft, the ability to add some depth there, adding Malik McDowell to that defensive line alongside Frank Clark and Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett. Good luck. Yeah, definitely, definitely better.
Anybody want to disagree with Justin? I'm going to say, Justin, I don't think you got better. I think you remain the same. And that's not a bad thing. You were still the division winner last season, despite, you know, falling off a little bit. You didn't end up in the Super Bowl. But I still think, I don't necessarily think you've made enough. I don't think the team has made enough improvements to classify it as better. I think you're still sort of the same. And that's not a bad thing. It's still playoff bound, but I don't foresee you in the Super Bowl.
I think that's just fine because I think most of the additions are those like third round, fourth round kind of guys who their names don't mean anything to you now, but I think the next generation of especially defensive stars joined the team this offseason. So I'm feeling really, really good about the direction of this team. I hadn't lost so many key players at the end to injury. I think that they had a great shot to win that Atlanta game and then advance further. Now with all that added depth, I'm feeling real good, real good.
Neil, go ahead and take a shot at that depth.
Yeah, Justin, I guess I'd ask you, how's Errol Thomas? Is he coming back healthy? Because I kind of agree with Jay that you're going to be staying about the same, which will be good enough to win the division. But if Errol Thomas isn't back, we saw how that worked out for you last year. It wasn't pretty.
I agree. Tough because in training camp, all you hear is that everybody is miles ahead of schedule and the coaches are always telling people to slow down because they can't believe how healthy they are at this point already. But those are the stories that you're hearing about Earl Thomas. So we'll see on that. It's hard for me to imagine them being the same or worse. They didn't lose any players of significance. And what they added was good players at that next line behind these guys. They have a real backup to they have real backups at the cornerback positions. They have an additional pro running back in addition to bringing in some additional offensive linemen. So if you think that all of the players are, if the players on the team simply did not get worse since the season ended and since this season started, then they're going to be better just by the players that they've brought in.
Let's hope your Wi-Fi can last through the entire NFC West here, Justin. How about the Cardinals? Better, worse, same?
Same. I mean, the problems they had last year, the same problems they're going to have this year, where they're depending on a 100-year-old man at quarterback. Their secondary is great, but I can't trust the Honey Badger to stay healthy. Same, very similar results to last year.
I agree. James, how about you? Cardinals, better, worse, same?
Because Carson Palmer is still the quarterback, I'm going to say worse. He's getting older. He's not getting better. This is, I'm not calling him a journeyman quarterback, but his peak years were in Cincinnati, you know, when they first drafted him. So at this point in his year, I see regression in his play from just the last 2 years alone when they lost to Carolina in that conference title game. From that season to last season, he took a step back. His interceptions were up. His touchdowns were down. I don't know how they can sustain this without a competent backup, which I don't see on their roster at this point. And unless they're grooming who they draft this year at quarterback. Anybody?
Who did they draft? It's not coming to me, but we'll Google it.
Sure. But whoever they drafted, if they're not grooming him today to be the starter next year, this season might as well just be a waste. And I'm not saying like tank the season, but there's nothing coming out of this for them this year. Their defense is sound, but it's not great. It doesn't scare me because, I mean, it's mostly a bunch of secondary players, and they still get no pass rush up the middle, and the second level with the linebackers is non-threatening.
By the way, the Arizona Cardinals depth chart at quarterback is...
Blaine Gabbert.
They didn't draft anybody.
Gabbert. Yeah, they didn't draft it.
No, they didn't draft anyone, okay, but they signed Blaine Gabbert.
To be the backup. Right. Okay. So, like I said, worse than last year.
All right. Fair enough. All right, Justin, two more teams to go through here. Rams, better, worse, same.
Better. They made one of the biggest offseason additions with a subtraction of Jeff Fisher. The is still there. That offense still has Todd Gurley, who had a down year last year. I expect him to bounce back, that they are a sneaky sleeper to be a surprisingly mid-tier team.
Robert?
They're better for the same reason. I think that their coaching was just terrible. They did add some pieces. I'm a fan of Robert Woods. He's not the best, like, receiver. I don't think he's going to be, like, their number one or anything, but he's one of the best blocking receivers in the league. So I think that'll kind of fit what they do. They have a creative mind there, as the coach. So it's going to be kind of fun to see what happens with this offense, what they do with Goff. I think he might be the biggest winner out of all of this. So I'd say better just based on, they got rid of probably one of the worst coaches in the league and at least added someone who's a touch creative, even if he's a little bit of an unknown.
So where I'm going to disagree with you both is because, so this is one of those, it depends on how you look at the question. So in the long term, I agree by changing the coach, they got better. But in the short term, we all know how these types of things usually work out. And for that, I say they got worse. But it's really for the same reasons. It's sort of like short term, they got worse. Long term, they'll be better for it. But they're not going to necessarily reap the rewards of being better this season. We end up with the 49ers, Justin. Better, worse, same.
I'm going to go with same just because I don't know that you could be worse than they were last year. They were garbage last year. They're going to be garbage this year. We got to get a sounder ready for the first pick in the NFL draft. The 49ers select.
Well, except I think there's another team.
Yeah, you said New York Jets wrong.
Later. Yeah. Neil, 49ers.
49ers for me will be either just about the same or they will be worse. I probably err on the side of worse, but what were they, 2-14 last year? You can't really get much worse than that, can you? I'll say about the same then, about 2-14. It's the quarterback position, isn't it? Quarterback position is... Yeah, there's nothing there. Offensively, I don't see where they're scoring points.
You guys are all wrong. They started from the bottom, not here. They got rid of a lot of dead weight. For the same reason you all said the Rams would be better, is the same reason the Niners would be better. They kicked out an idiot who thought he was a genius at head coach. They got better.
Go on, say his name. Say it. Say it.
No, I don't need that curse upon my squad.
Go on. You know you want to.
All right, Justin. Well, your Wi-Fi remained about the same through that segment. Didn't get too much worse, but we are going to let you go. As Neil mentioned earlier, you are on holiday.
Yeah, I'd better go before my wife kills me.
All right, Justin, thanks so much. And thanks for bringing us the special guest this week.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, let's move to the division that is most represented here, and we'll talk about the NFC East, and we'll start with the team that neither of the two of you represent, and the Dallas Cowboys. So, James, better, worse, same?
I'm going to say the same. Until that defense can prove it's gotten better by actual play on the field, I can't really say that there's anywhere to go, as far as up or down with them. They can't get any better on offense. I mean, one of the top offenses in the league led by two rookies. Of course, quarterback. Dak Prescott can get better from his rookie year to his sophomore year. Zeke Elliott probably remain an MVP candidate for the next couple of years behind that offensive line. Of course, who's it? Doug Free retired, correct, in the offseason. But, I mean, it's still a dominant line. That defense is pretty much the question for me right now. So I'm going to say they stayed about the same.
Neil?
I think they'll probably be they'll be slightly worse, Jay. And that's not to knock the Cowboys. I just think 13-3 is a very hard record to do 2 years running. They'll probably get about 10 or 11 wins, so they'll be slightly worse, but I think just as good a team.
I agree with you. I think ultimately the Cowboys are going to be a little bit worse, but much like I said with Seattle, it'll still be good enough to win the division.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I will tell you, I've done my game-by-game predictions, and I'm not going to reveal whom I have where or what their predictive record will be, because that's what we're going to be doing all month during our division previews. And then at the end of that, we will talk about my postseason predictions. But I still think the Cowboys are good enough to win the division. Now, that said, I do think the most improved team in your division is yours, Neil.
Really?
Well, I think the Giants made some improvements, but I don't see them overcoming the other teams right now.
Yeah. For me, the NFC East is tough, Jay, because there's four pretty good teams there. Maybe not great teams, but four good teams. Yeah, I think Washington will probably be a little bit better. They were 8-7-1 last season. So, yeah, give me a game or so better for Washington. I think the defense cannot be any worse.
Rob, before I let James retort, what is your thoughts?
With Washington, I like Washington. I think as far as the offseason, I think in the draft, they got a little lucky and were able to get Allen and to help, you know, start to piece back together that defensive line. And I think Samaje Perine comes in and ends up being the starter at running back, and I think gives them an upgrade. They kind of had some little revolving door at receiver. But I think DeSean Jackson left at just the right time for them. I think Terrell Pryor, if he could figure out the system pretty quickly, is going to do real well with them. So, you know, and once again, you got Kirk Cousins in a contract year for like the third year in a row. So, I think they're going to be an improved team.
And speaking of that, am I mistaken, Neil? Did I see that there's some positive news on the contract front there?
Yeah, apparently. Oh, no, wait for it, Jay, wait for it. Dan Snyder is stepping in to sort it out.
Oh, is that positive or negative?
Well, it sounds like it's only going to be positive for Cousins then.
Yeah, I've been crying into my soup all day about that one. It's terrible. Can I just say something about rookies in general?
Sure.
But, you know, when you're looking at if your team's going to be better or worse or so, I think it's fair to say that probably very few rookies actually make a huge difference to a team in terms of wins and losses in their rookie year. Maybe a running back position has a chance to do that. Other positions, I don't think so much. Rob, would you agree?
I mean, to a point, that being said, I think that Allen is, for what your defensive line had before the draft, I think it's a supreme upgrade. Even, you know, coming in, you know, assuming his shoulder is okay, which was kind of the deal with him, you know, would you say he's going to start the season as your best defensive lineman, second best?
I mean, but that's a bit of an extreme situation because
I don't think
our starting defensive line was you, me, and James.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to say for every team, like, oh, their third round pick, you know, is going to come in and do that. But I think in this instance, one, I think Perine is an upgrade over Fat Rob. And I think that Allen is going to come in. He's going to, not that it would be hard to improve the defensive line, but he's going to come in and he's definitely going to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, James. So brings us to the Eagles. Better, worse, same.
I'm going to say better slightly. Overhaul on the offense, a wide receiver should improve. And Carson Wentz an entire offseason as the starter as opposed to 5 days before opening day should help this team get on track offensively. Defense is roughly about the same, minus the secondary, which still has me somewhat concerned. I have no idea who's going to start at corner at this point or who's shaping up to win those position battles right now in training camp, even though, you know, it's just OTAs. So outside of, you know, that glaring weakness, which I admit is a glaringly big weakness right now for our entire squad. Just my offensive additions alone, I'm going to say better, but not much. Enough to win probably two or three more games this season, maybe threaten for a wild card, but shouldn't finish at the bottom of the division.
So I'm glad you brought in those offensive additions, because that's sort of why I look at the Eagles as more of a same, where Carson Wentz is in that critical second year jump in his development in the NFL, but now he has a whole new group of guys that he's got to get used to, which sort of diminishes that improvement that he should be showing in his second year in the NFL. So that's the one area that I'm actually most concerned about with your team.
And I understand that, but also understand that he didn't even practice with the starters last offseason. He was pretty much working with the second team for the most part, maybe even the third. He didn't get work with the starters until like the last preseason. The 5 days he had before the season started, because he got knocked out of the first preseason game and didn't even play a single snap of the rest of the preseason. So he missed all the preseason. We trade Sam Bradford. He's named the starter 5 days before camp. He's basically burying his head into a book and trying to learn these guys in 5 days. So, yeah, guys that he was supposedly working with all last season, last year, most of them didn't even make the squad. Some didn't even see the field if they did. And now you're talking about, okay, now he's got to get used to all new players. Okay, so let's go over the new players he has to get used to. Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffery, complete upgrades over our outside wide receiver targets. That allows Jordan Matthews to be more comfortable in the slot. We're going to get rid of Ryan Matthews at some point. He's not going to be the starting tailback. And you bring in Corey Blunt, and Wendell Smallwood should take a giant step forward into splitting first-team reps with whoever's designated the default starter opening day. So, and he still has a security blanket at tight end in the weapons we have there. So new weapons, yes, but better weapons than what he practiced with last year. So the curve shouldn't be that steep, especially with someone like Alshon Jeffery, who radius for catching the ball is significantly bigger than anyone else we have on the roster, save Green Beckham. But is he going to be a threat to the starting lineup or in the wide receiver rotation at any point? Not really. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I'm confident that Nelson Aguilar is not going to make it out of training camp. So I'm looking at opening day being some combination of Matthews, Jeffery, and either Smith or one of our rookie wide receivers or Green Beckham on the other side. So
Neil, what are your thoughts on the Eagles?
I think the Eagles a slight improvement on last year, but just a slight improvement. Huge year for Carson Wentz, as James has said.
It was such a convincing argument, James. You made Rob's dogs bark.
Sorry about that. I have someone coming in to look at one of our appliances, and the dog wasn't happy about it, apparently.
Well, speaking of not being happy, there's that New York Giants team that doesn't make, I think, any of us happy. I mean, the Giants have definitely made a lot of additions, but I'm not 100% sure they've made enough to be, well, let's put it this way. They made enough to be better, even though I will give you a tease and say I've got them as worse for this coming year.
I'm going to jump in here first real quick, because this is going to be real short. The addition of Brandon Marshall on paper looks great. Is he an upgrade over Victor Cruz, who could barely stay healthy and find his way into the offense? Yes. But then what does that say about Brandon Marshall in the offense if Eli is just tunnel vision on Odell Beckham Jr.? Because even when he has complimentary help at the wide receiver position, he still, Eli that is, stays tunnel vision on 13. And if he can't force the ball into 13 some way, shape, or form, it looks like he panics sometimes. So while That addition looks great overall with the Giants. I want to say they stay about the same.
And 13's not working out right now, Neil.
Contract dispute.
No, I'd say slightly worse for the Giants. About the same or slightly worse.
Robert?
I'd say slightly worse as well, just because Eli's a year older and they don't, I mean, who do they have for offensive line? Mm. Their offensive line is still as bad as it was last year. What are you going to do if you're getting sacked all the time?
Let's go to the NFC North. We'll start with the Packers. Better, worse, or same, Rob?
The Packers, I would say, you know, I'd say they're going to be a little worse this year. I mean, they still got the receivers. They've overhauled the running backs there, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with that. I mean, they still Montgomery's going to probably get the lion's share. But, you know, when you're at a, you know, like a third and one situation, they don't, I mean, they're going to be relying on a rookie no matter what in that spot. And that's always tough. On defense, they lost Mika Hyde, a player who they thought at the beginning of the year was going to be, you know, one of their big guys, Sam Shields. He's no longer on the team. You know, they need, you know, a little more depth at cornerback. So I think they're going to regress a little bit. The offense is still going to be fun, though.
Neil?
Big issue for the Packers for me is pass rush. Who's going to rush the passer? And if you don't rush the passer in this league, you're not going to do much better. They were 10-6 last year, Jay. I'll say the same.
How about you, James?
I'm going to say the same. And wasn't BJ Raji supposed to come back this year?
Wow.
Did he take like a year off to semi-retire to like get healthy or just?
Well, that's what he said he was going to do. He might be feeling so healthy that he's like, I'm good.
one of Jay's favorite sound drops of all time.
That's right.
If Raji comes back, I'm going to say slightly better, but overall, I'm going to say the same with them.
Love that song. It was great. All right. The Detroit Lions, better, worse, or same, Neil?
I will say the Lions will be better. I like what they did in the draft, and I also... I like Stafford. I think he's getting better and better and better. And I can see them going a game or so better. So, yeah, slightly better than the Lions.
Interesting. I feel like Stafford's reached his ceiling, James.
I do, too. And I'm just going to say the same. Not enough additions or subtractions to significantly affect the team, in my opinion. They didn't do much in free agency. I don't think they lost anybody of, you know, key significance. The draft will add depth at key positions for them, but Stafford's not that guy that scares you when you see Detroit in the schedule. It's not like, yeah, I mean, he can put up big numbers, but he's not going to be the sole focus that he beats you or you beat him.
All right. Robert and Neil apparently take exception to my comment that Stafford has reached the ceiling. How do you think Stafford is going to get any better? I think Stafford is what he is now. I don't think that he's going to make any improvements.
Jim Bob Cooter. That's all I got to say to you. Jim Bob Cooter.
I would just add to that, Jay. I would just add Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, Jim Bob Cooter. I actually think the Lions are a prime candidate for being a team that regresses a little bit because their offense was a slower offense. So they didn't run as many plays per game. I think they ran the lowest amount of plays per game, and they were in a lot of close games. And a lot of times games are just kind of turned on one or two plays. So I feel like I think they're going to not finish as well as they did last year by one game.
The Vikings are next, James. Better, same, worse.
If Bradford's the starter opening day, same. Bridgewater's the starter opening day, slightly better. Adrian Peterson's departure does change some things at running back. I mean, the offensive line hasn't improved as much. The defense is still solid, though, and, you know, Zimmer's a defensive-minded coach, so Zimmerman. But I don't expect much change in the offense. I expect the defense to get better, but it all depends on who's stepping under center opening day between Bradford and Bridgewater.
How about you, Rob?
I'd say they're going to get slightly better. They they made attempts to improve that offensive line. That offensive line was bad last year. And I mean, at running back, you're going, you know, they signed Latavia, the kid from the Raiders, Latavius Murray. And then they did draft Dalvin Cook in the second round. You know, if he's what he was in college and not the guy who did all the workouts, then they have themselves a little bit of a steal in the second round. And so I think just on based on those two alone, and, you know, they should be at least a little better.
Neil, I will end the division with you and the Chicago Bears, and hopefully you don't have anything more to say than just worse.
I don't mind the Chicago at all. You know, I was a fan of the Trubisky trade, but I think they're a team that's going to be, I mean, last year, what were they last year, Jay? They were 3-13. I will say they're maybe a game better, so slightly better.
Oh, no. I see them as being contenders for the New York Jets and the San Francisco 49ers award, James.
Indeed. I'm going worse by the most boneheaded thing I've seen on draft day in years.
Rob?
I don't care about the draft day trade. I think that they are going to be slightly better than they were. Cameron Meredith is going to end up being their lead receiver, and he was a quarterback a couple years ago. He's gotten better and better every year. He's going to start to become a little bit of a force in this league. They're going to...
Quick question.
What's that?
Quick question. Quick question about that wide receiver who's getting better. Who's throwing him the ball?
I don't care if it's the Red Rider. He was able to do it with, I can't even remember. Hoyer was there throwing it. He was able to do it with him. He put up a couple really big games last year. So
Barkley.
I think he could do it even with a mediocre quarterback.
Okay.
What I like, say, Jay, what I like what about the Bears. Yeah, Neil. What I like about the Bears is they have a pretty good offensive line and a fairly good defensive front seven. And I think that they might not have the great skill players, but that's important in this league.
What I say to the Bears is good luck. The NFC South, the Super Bowl losing Atlanta Falcons, 28-3. Better, worse, or same, Neil?
Slightly worse. I think 11-5 last year. I'll go slightly better. I don't think they will have the Super Bowl hangover. Certainly hope not. I think they'll be slightly better.
Rob?
I'd say about the same, but I think that they have their defensive line, they've retooled that, and I think it could be that could be, you know, definitely quite a bit better. I'm mildly concerned about their offense. Just switching coordinators and the possibility for them to change, you know, some things that they did that made them very successful, you know, going outside the organization to do the OC hire makes me kind of concerned that their offense could regress. But I'm going to cautiously say the same, maybe slightly better.
James, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a team that I want to say are going to be better, but for some reason, I feel like they're going to be the same.
Because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's not a bad thing, but I don't know what to make of them at this point either. They added DeSean Jackson on offense to give Winston another weapon on the outside, a speed burst to complement the other wide receiver there. Defensively, they've retooled some things. I'm looking at the same. I don't know if I can go better or worse. Just how does Winston do in this next year carrying this team? They have a lot of complimentary players around him to carry that offense, but defensively they have to step up.
Neil?
Better. Defense is not there yet, I don't think, 100%. But offensively they'll be better, and defensively maybe slightly better. So yeah, better all round for me. Playoff team.
I mean, I want to put them in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to vault over enough teams.
Okay.
Yet.
Is that the best division of quarterbacks in the NFL?
Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Drew Brees, Cam Newton.
That's pretty good.
On paper, yes.
Yeah, I would definitely say on paper, but I think when we, well, I mean, it is a team sport. It's difficult to say. Why don't we go to that Newton guy? Because that's the team that I'm unsure about. They were 6-10 last year, and I've got a pretty high opinion of them, and a lot of it is based on Newton. But at the same time, I had that opinion last year, and they still ended up 6-10. Neil,
I'm concerned about Newton not being on the field for maybe training, for parts of training camp, maybe all of training camp, with his ongoing injury problems. Apart from that, I mean, I like Carolina. That was a, I think they're not the team that they showed last season. That was a poor copy of the Panthers we know. I quite like them. I think they'll be certainly a better team this year.
James? I mean, Robert?
Yeah, I think they'll be better. I mean, they've done it for a couple years before this, you know, regression. They seem to focus on the offense in the offseason. They're going to try to do some different things. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how that goes. But, you know, defensively, they've been, you know, a really solid, good program for the past couple of years. You're going to have Keekly healthy the whole year. Those cornerbacks, I think they were starting three rookies at one point in the defensive backfield. You know, that's, as you say, Pod, that's not how teams get better. But I think they get better the next year when they're all second year guys. So, you know, I think they will, I think they'll definitely be better than a 6-10 team, kind of be, I know you're on the outside looking in for a playoff spot.
Yeah, James, by the way, there is no reason why I switched to Robert other than some cockamamie idea I had in my head of a system that I wasn't even really following.
No worries. But real quick, Carolina has got to stop running Cam Newton as much as they do during the game. I don't care if it's 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-2, goal line, whatever have you. That needs to stop, or at least be limited to 3 to 5 times a game. Running him 10-plus, 10-12, whatever it is, trying to keep it into, that's not going to work over the course of the season. Last year, he got hurt doing that, which is why he had off-season surgery and is still recovering at this point. Defensively, that secondary can only go up. So I'm going to say they get better this year.
Neil gives you kudos, James. Let's see if he gives you kudos for your thoughts on the Saints.
I'm going to say worse, mainly because of that defense. And that's pretty much the only reason. That offense can still throw up vaunted numbers, but Drew Brees can't carry that load on his own. It seems to be on his shoulders a lot there in New Orleans to, you know, find open targets. Not to mention they lost Brandon Cooks in a trade to a team I refuse to name at this point. And and I just don't know what to make of them. I mean, yeah, they can light up the scoreboard on offense and they can get lit up on defense. So, I mean, where's the improvement other than Adrian Peterson?
All right, Neil.
7-9 last year. I'll say they're more of an 8-8 team, so I'll say better.
That is technically better, although I look at it as pretty much the same. I don't really see a lot of difference in what the Saints team this year will be compared to last year.
Yeah, but remember, you support the Patriots, and you just don't understand what the 8-8 season means, do you?
No, I don't. And speaking of the Patriots, why don't we transition to the AFC and try and get through the AFC teams quicker than we did through the NFC teams? And we'll start with the AFC East and my Patriots. And honestly, the Patriots got better, guys. They didn't get worse, and they're not the same. I think the NFL's in a whole lot of trouble, and we're looking at another potential perfect season. Rob?
Yes, the New England Fighting Asterix got better.
Neil?
You were 14-2 last year. I don't think you'll be better than that. I'll say you'll be something like about 12 wins. But yeah, maybe on paper you got better. And what helps you, Jay, of course, is you're in that absolutely horrendous division where, well, you better play some college teams than half of those teams in your division.
Shut your mouth, Neil.
James?
You know, it's not that crappy team's fault that they have 7 byes during the NFL regular season while everyone else only gets 1. It is so not fair you all get 7 byes. I don't know how the schedule makers do this,
But yeah, I'm going to say you guys are the same. There's some nice additions that look good on paper, but you all tend to, the year after Super Bowl, I'm not going to say there's a slump. You get back to the playoffs, and then somebody you don't expect coming kind of catches you blindsided. So I'm going to say about the same.
So I don't know about the six buys that you're talking about, but I know two are given to seven. Us, Rob.
Seven buys.
No, I know. I skipped over the actual buy that they're given because I want to reference the six that you're talking about. And I'm going to eliminate four of them because Rob gets to experience two extra buys this year, too, in the New York Jets, because I think we have a potential for a 16-0 team and an 0-16 team in the same division, Rob.
Yeah, I think that, man, that might happen. I which is kind of a crazy thing to say, that you think someone could go winless in a year in a league with so much parity as the NFL. But, man, they're going to be starting. They are one snap away from Christian Hackenberg being in a professional NFL football game.
And they're talking about getting rid of Eric Decker. And they cut David Harris.
Yeah.
I think you were the one that was that mentioned that this is exactly what tanking looks like in the NFL.
Yeah. This is what tanking looks like in the NFL. They're not going to be good at all. They're going to win one or two games, if that. They are going to have the number one pick. They are going to have Sam Darnold. But they don't have him this year, so they're going to be worse.
Here's the spoiler. Here's one of the spoilers that I am willing to give. I actually do have the Jets at 0-16, and I'm looking at their roster. I'm looking at their schedule here, Neil. I mean, besides maybe pulling off a division victory, because division games can go either way, they are at Cleveland, and we haven't gotten to Cleveland yet, but I think we're all going to say Cleveland is better, for whatever that's worth. And then there's not another team on this roster, on this schedule, that they can beat.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct, Jay. 0-16 is an absolute possibility for that team. And you're right, it is tanking, and it's not good, and they are definitely sucking for Sam.
And the worst part for them, James,
that's what the kids on Twitter call it.
The worst part for them, James, is they've got a head coach who obviously doesn't want his team to tank, but unless it's been implicitly put behind the scenes that they sort of understand what this season's going to be all about, he's going to do his best. I mean, it's not like he's going out there going, all right, we're going to make sure we lose every game.
Did you see that press conference after they traded, released the linebacker, Harris? He looked dejected, like somebody just came up, ripped his heart out, shot his dog, and blew up his car in the same day. I mean,
oh my God!
And they're trying to get an answer from him, and he can't flat out say, you know, I don't agree with management. He's got to tote the company line, and he just looked like, I don't want to do this right now. Like, why are you all asking me these questions? I don't know what management is doing. Just ask them, and management's not going to come out and say what they're doing. They're going to hide behind, you know, upper, you know, floors and glass ceilings and whatnot, and not say anything outright. You slide the head coach out there to take the brunt of all these questions that they should be answering. I mean, my heart goes out to him. He's in a no-win situation this season.
All right, TV.
They did when they were doing a press conference. They asked the general manager, McHagnon, I think his name is, if he thought that the Jets had the worst roster in the league. And he would not answer it.
Because he knows it's true.
He knows.
I mean, that's the one thing about tanking, is if you have the worst roster, that first round draft choice, that first pick in the NFL draft, isn't going to be the only thing you need to improve your team next year. To the AFC North, where we have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Greg was
skipping the Bills and Dolphins.
Did we skip the Bills?
Oh, we skipped
the Bills and the Dolphins.
You're
right. I don't care about the Dolphins. I'm on here. We're skipping the Bills.
No, Rob, you know, here's the thing. your team made a lot of additions, but you're in a division where we have the 16-0 team and the 0-16 team. It's not sexy.
Listen, there's not much in Buffalo that is sexy, but you still got to deal with it.
Hey, give us back our running back.
No, that was the best trade ever. Chip Kelly got drunk and called Whaley. It was beautiful.
Well, that running back...
There's not much there.
That running back tried to bring Jeremy Maclin to town, and he did come, but he also left and went, and now is heading off to Baltimore.
That's fine. He was in Buffalo for 2 days. He's going to eventually... I think that Baltimore is going to get either Maclin or Decker, and the Bills are going to end up with the other one. So I think the Bills actually end up with Maclin. I think that Baltimore, I think Decker is a little bit of a better fit for them, but we'll see. The Bills are changing the culture. They're going to finish like maybe 7-9 instead of 6-10. But in the next couple of years, I think they finally got a good coach. We'll see how it goes.
Neil, I'll bring... Well, actually, James, you're the one that pointed out that I skipped two teams, so I'll let you talk about the Dolphins.
Dolphins, I'm going to say about the same, which is not good at all. I mean, it'd be better if they were getting better or worse, but right now they're the same. I still have the same amount of confidence in Tannehill that I did last year, which is not much at all. He's not shaping up to be the guy for this offense. So I'm going to say about the same, and they will putter through the season and get everyone's hopes up about possibly making the playoffs and tail off at the end.
For the Buffalo Bills, Jay, I would say the same, but I think the future is bright for Buffalo with all their future draft picks coming up. And for the Dolphins, I think I'm going to say slightly worse. They were 10-6 last year in a playoff berth. I think they might just miss out this year.
Are you guys still there?
I didn't know we lost you. Yes, we're still here.
I didn't know you were gone.
We hadn't realized you.
I was trying to throw it to James about the Dolphins. Better, worse, same.
I said the same.
Oh, you already talked about Tannehill. The Dolphins? All right, good.
Yeah.
Come on, Jay. Come on. Hey, we've done the Dolphins. I did the Bills. I did the Dolphins. Move on. Next division.
Next division's the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Neil.
It's that sort of complacency that's going to suffer for the Patriots this year, Jay.
All right, well, will they suffer to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Better, worse, or same?
I'll say the Steelers will be slightly worse this year. I don't think they've done a lot to improve the team. And I think, I don't think they'll be as lucky as they were last year. Teams will have learned a lot from that game they played against the Patriots in the playoffs when they saw you actually tear apart their zone defense. And we'll be seeing a lot of that come this next regular season. So slightly worse.
Rob, what do you think about the Ravens?
The Ravens, I'm going to say slightly worse. Now that they've apologies from me and Pod Vader. Now that they've lost Pitta and it looks like he's going to retire, the Ravens have to replace 300 receptions on that team. So they have and now granted they've added a little bit and they may still add more, but they have a lot of receptions, a lot of catches that they have to replace with a similar roster that they had. So I see a little uncertainty in the offense. I think they get slightly worse.
By the way, since you brought it up, they do have a lot of receptions, and Gary Barnage is still available out there. He would be if we're talking about Eric Decker heading to Baltimore, Gary Barnage should be heading to Baltimore as well.
They have their replacement in Max Williams. It's fine.
I've heard that story before.
Well, that's a good story.
Neil, I'm going to let you talk about the Bengals because I know how much you love Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, Cincinnati, one of my favorite places. I think the Bengals will be, a lot depends on that offensive line, Jay. If that offensive line can be better this year, they've got a chance because they've got the skill position players in place. We love John Ross, love AJ Green, tight end, running game. It's all good, but defensive line, offensive line, big question marks. Last year they were 6-9. What were they? 6-9-1. 6-9-1. They had that great tie against Washington. Give me a slightly better Cincinnati, but only by a game or so.
James, the Cleveland Browns are all yours.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. You know, because I was the one who predicted their one victory last year when everyone bet against me. So naturally, I'm going to say the Browns are going to get better because they can't get worse than 1-15.
it can only go up from here. I honestly, from reports that are coming out right now saying that Brock Osweiler is looking like the best quarterback in training camp, doesn't bode well for anything because they have no quarterbacks on the roster as of yet to talk about in any way, shape, or fashion. So, yes, of course, Brock Osweiler is going to look great in camp. The problem is, will Brock Osweiler look like a halfway decent, competent quarterback during the regular season when he's the opening day starter? I don't think that answer is going to be yes, but I do like how the defense has improved so far this offseason, courtesy of the Jets. And the offense can only go up from here.
See, that's the same thing. I you could get worse than 1-15, but you have the New York Jets and the Chicago Bears on your schedule, which means the Browns can only go up.
3-13 is still better.
See, the AFC South and the Houston Texans. Rob, Texans, better, worse, same.
They are going to finish. They're going to finish worse because I think that division is finally getting a little bit stronger. And, you know, they're not going to be able to just, you know, grind their way to a 9-7 division win. They're going to probably be starting. I know they drafted Deshaun Watson, but they're going to end up starting Savage at quarterback. They do have the one good receiver in Hopkins, but I just don't. I think with the division getting stronger, that they are going to they're going to regress by a game or two.
Well, hey, Neil, J.J. Watt is like the 35th best player in the NFL, so you know they can't get too much worse.
Yeah, I think I agree with Rob there. I think they will be worse regardless of J.J.'s return, and the defense is tremendous. Obviously, we know this, but offensively, so much of it depends on the quarterback. And is there a young rookie going to play? Watson, who knows? But I think, yeah, maybe returning to 8-8, 7-9.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, wow. I mean, the question marks in this division is all around the quarterbacks, and you have the young one in Tennessee. How about the Titans?
I say the Titans stay about the same. There will be moderate improvement on the offensive side of the ball. They have two beastly running backs that can carry the load. Cushion a lot of what Mariota has to do. Wide receiver, don't see them really getting better that position. Defensively, they're getting sound. They're getting better, but they're not as good as the Texans. So I'm going to say that Tennessee stays about the same.
Well, they got better at the wide receiver position, yeah, but with a rookie. And we do know the learning curve for rookie wide receivers is very steep. Neil, yeah, how about the quarterback in Indianapolis and the Colts?
Yeah, I like what Ballard has done there with Indianapolis. He's supporting the quarterback with by improving his defensive line. Got Hankins from the Giants, who I like. And, I mean, Indianapolis were, what were they last year? They were 8-8. I'll say they will be, division winners, definitely better.
I will take this last one. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be better. There's no doubt about it. There's no questioning it. They are my boyfriends. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I foresee, will be a playoff team this season. And yes, I understand that's with Blake Bortles. Their record was 3-13, and yeah, I know I said the same thing last year, but
is there a sort of guideline in the NFL about how many games you can be better on average in a course of 1 year? Because that's a big jump, Jay. It's like 7 games better than last year for Jacksonville.
A while ago, didn't Indianapolis jump from 3-13 to 13-3 or something like that when Manning was starting to come up?
Yeah, maybe.
It can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
A gradual rise.
And they're in a bad division.
Are they really, Rob? I mean, aren't Indianapolis better?
And that's the other thing. I disagree with you guys. Houston is better. Houston is just better, period. And I'm going to have to disagree with you, Rob. Watson will be the starter opening day.
Yeah, Houston might be the worst team in that division this year.
No.
Tennessee, you're sleeping on Tennessee. They're going to improve.
I'm not sleeping on Tennessee. I'm not sleeping on them.
You're sleeping on them.
Just think Houston is better.
My issue with Tennessee is probably the defense and maybe the pass rush for Tennessee. Everything else I like, but...
Yeah, they added a couple of things on defense this offseason. They added Cyprian, didn't they?
Yep, true.
I like Cyprian. But I think he's going to improve the back end. Their offense has got it. It's coming.
I think Houston are the exact opposite. I think Houston have got a great defense, and their offense, yeah, I agree Watson will start, but I think the offense will struggle this season. Offensive line, not convinced there, James.
As per usual, we have gone way over time, but we still have one division left. It is the AFC West, and we'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Better, worse, or same, Neil?
Slightly worse this year. I think a lot of it for me depends on Justin Houston. Does he come back to what he was previously? If so, then maybe they'll be better. But slightly worse, I think, for Kansas City. I think they got a lot of luck last year.
Yeah, worse. Probably. Bills get the top 10 pick.
Yeah, for
I'll
me.
I'll say slightly worse because they replaced Terry Poe with Benny Logan. And as much as I love Benny Logan, he's not done Terry Poe.
Yeah, for me, the Chiefs were a team that could have been real true Super Bowl contenders, and they've done nothing in this offseason to improve their team. It seems like they're preparing for the future before the future has actually occurred. The Oakland Raiders, James. The Oakland better. Raiders of Las Vegas.
I'm going to say better. You swap out Latavius Murray for beast mode and return much of that starting offense. The defense can only get better, especially in the secondary. I'm going to say better.
See, I don't agree that they got better at the running back position, but I do think that they will be better as a team with another year of experience for that quarterback, Neil.
They're a really good tight end away from being arguably the second best team in the AFC.
Rob?
Yeah, I think their arrow is pointing up. You know, a lot of younger players. Obviously, Crabtree not part of the younger players, but he still has juice. I think that they'll be a better team just because everybody's going to get slightly better on that team than they were last year.
Which direction is the arrow for the Denver Broncos?
Womp womp womp.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go down as well because the defense can't carry this team much longer and they still have a void to fill at quarterback. What they have on the roster is not the answer. And the sooner they start looking for that answer, the better off they'll be. But at this point, Von Miller and that defense cannot carry this load.
Agreed.
Neil?
Yeah, I agree entirely with James. Down.
And that leaves us with the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego, Neil.
San Diego, always my, it's kind of my second favorite team. I always like San Diego. I'll say definitely up, rising fast, possibly into playoff contention. Last year they were 5-11. I can see them getting 9 wins this year.
Yeah, just don't forget you can't call them San Diego. You have to call them San Diego.
Oh yeah, of San Diego.
Yeah, Robert.
I think they do better this year. You think about when they go into 3-4 receiver sets, they have all these 6'4" guys, Dontrell Inman, Tyrell Williams. They got the rookie, Mike Williams. They have size. They're going to be tough to deal with.
I'm going to say the same for Los Angeles Chargers. I don't see them playing. I mean, on paper, they always look to be getting better every year. And when they get in the field, they just don't live up to potential. They get in too many shootouts. They lose the teams they have no business losing to. I mean, if I had my way, they'd play Cleveland for 16 straight weeks just to make Cleveland happy. So, yeah, the same.
I actually agree with you, James. It's I see the Chargers as being same. Mike Williams' injury, Neil, what about it?
Well, Mike Williams is already out with a – and I'm going to say it's a herniated disc. Certainly,
they've already come out and said not a big deal. He's going to be there for training camp.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see. That can be a problem for a big guy.
No, it could be, but I don't think they're going to expect much out of him the first year. I think he's going to play. They have a lot of depth at wide receiver. He might be their like third or fourth guy.
And Jay, and we talked about the NFC South having the best quarterback. grouping in the league. What about the AFC West for having the best pass rush group in the NFL? Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Justin Houston, and Joey Bosa.
Yep, they all got one really good one.
Yeah, one really, really good one.
Yeah, like top six, seven guys. Four of them are in the same division.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they'll all nullify each other. All right. So for the next month, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear basically the same conversation, but in expanded format and with the actual super fan of each and every team as we go through our division previews. Every division will be featured on every show, and you will hear my game by game predictions for each and every team. I already shared with you one of those teams, and that is the New York Jets going 0-16. And while I do like the chances for the Patriots going 16-0, I don't have them predicted at 16-0.
Well, you play Washington, don't you? That rules that out.
They must play Buffalo late in the year.
Well, Neil, you can go and read Greg's glowing review of Manchester by the Sea. If you want to try and put a wager on that game so that you have to watch something absolutely horrendous.
Jay, I've been watching Washington for nearly 30 years. I've learned my lesson about putting a wager on that bunch of monkeys. Honestly, that's ridiculous.
Alrighty. So please do email us nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. It is my birthday on Friday, June 9th. If you wish me a happy birthday, I will ask for a birthday present, and that is to leave me a review either at iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher for this podcast. That is all I want from the masses of people that listen to this show. I want you all to go out on my birthday and leave us a nice review or a crappy review. Either or, we'll accept it. But please do go to wherever you listen to this fine podcast and leave a review for us. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, AHA Radio. Those are some of the major places that you can get us. And of course, if you're getting us from somewhere else, I'm sure we're available there. Leave us a review there as well. Anywhere you can leave a review, that's what I want for my birthday. Thank you very much in advance. Thank you to our great guest, G. Scott at 710 ESPN Seattle. Thank you to the super fans that joined us on today's show. And thank you to Landry Jones for replacing the fired coach, Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.